IB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayh, found in the book As-Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, and we are looking at supplication number 8, where the Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from hirs. When it comes to hirs or greed, it's undoubtedly that it's a human trait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded such trait in human beings themselves. So sometimes we can't say it's a bad thing, and sometimes we can't say it's a good thing. So there's always two scales of the spectrum. There's a good side and there's a bad side. My job and your job is to maintain that balance. So for example, a person needs to be harious on his dunya. He needs to be greedy of his wealth in the sense that he needs to work. He needs to make money. He needs to earn a living. Right? So he needs to put a bit of effort to that. And this is what we call a form of jihad, a form of struggle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, commanding such a thing. And he wants people to put themselves in such a state where they work hard for the dunya. Not for the dunya itself, but to work and earn their living. So this itself is a good thing. A man came to Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi, and he said to him, I love this dunya. I have a relationship. I have a connection to this dunya. And I'm afraid. So the Imam said to him, do you love to collect wealth? He says to him, yes. He said to him, for what purpose? He said to him, so I can get married. He said, what else? He said, so I can help other people, so I can pay sadaqah, pay charity. And the Imam says to him, then else, he said, so I can do this, I can do that. So he was always giving good things that he wants to do. Then the Imam salamullah alayhi said to him, well, then that's a good thing. This is, you are doing things for your akhirah, for your afterlife, not for your dunya. So the motivation here for this person to seek wealth was for his afterlife, not for his dunya. Let us take a break and we'll come back inshallah.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said that sometimes we have a greed, but this greed is directed for our afterlife. So I work, I put in the effort to gather money, to gather wealth, so I could get married, build a house, take care of my family, pay charity, help those who are in need. That's a good type of a greed, or hirs, as we say it in Arabic. But then when I become a greedy for the sake of just collecting, for the sake of just saving, I just want to save. I have $2,000, I want to make the third. I get the third, I want to make the fourth. And then there's no end. It just keeps going on and on. So my intentions, my motives, my drive is just to be attached to the materialistic world itself. Whether a person is trying to create fame for himself or wealth for himself or whatever he wants to do for himself. So he only cares about this world and not the hereafter. So his effort, he goes from morning to night time trying to work and trying to gather dollar by dollar just so he could have more wealth. Not so he can spend it on his family, so he can spend it on himself, not that he can help other people, but in fact he just wants it for himself. So a person has to differentiate between these two, because sometimes people come to you and they easily throw a verse from the Quran and say, who forbade the good, beautiful things that Allah has given His people? Of course, no one. No one is forbidding it. Yes, wealth, collecting, working, saving money, it's a good thing, as long as it is done for the sake of akhirah, the sake of the afterlife, not for the sake of this dunya, not the sake of this world. So a mu'min, a believing person, be it male or female, they have to put that in their mind, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that sometimes when a person makes a few dollars and then he feels the power of it, then he goes to an extreme. Then it becomes his motives and his aim and goal. It starts to change and shift. And that's what becomes dangerous. Now, let us take a short break and then we come back, inshallah.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at hirs, greed. Is it good or is it bad? So we drew the line between the two, right? And we said that if it's used for the akhirah, then that's a good. If it's used for this world, then that is bad. And we said that sometimes what happens is that when I start to have few things, if I'm not careful, I will fall in the trap of hirs and greed. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادِكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. He says, all you who believe, don't let your money or your sons, your kids and your lineage and what have you, prevent you from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a trap. So when I make it my mission in life just to work and, you know, run after business and run after money and wealth, that is surely will deprive me of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now I'm not only trying to survive, but I'm going the extra mile. You know, a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or actually a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have 11 months sustenance and I need you to give me the sustenance of one more month so I could have sustenance for a whole year." The Prophet went and he called the woman and he said, "Bring me this lady." They brought this lady. They said, the Prophet said to her, "Look, I have this food. I want to give it to you." She was a widow. And she said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, we ate today, so we don't need any more." He said, "Keep it for tomorrow." She said to him, "Whoever fed me today will feed me tomorrow, so I'm not in need. I don't need to save." Then the Prophet looked at this man and said to him, "You have 11 months worth of sustenance and you want one more month? And this lady doesn't have even for tomorrow, yet she is content." So we have to be very careful that we don't fall in this gap or fall in this trap where we try to create and seek and attain wealth that we don't require. I work 8 hours a day. That pays off my rent, pays off my food. That's more than what I need. To go the extra mile, it will definitely put me in the state where Allah says, "Tulhikum." It will deprive you. It will keep you busy from dhikrullah, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very careful. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را. يا ابن الحسن يا ابن الحسن أجرك الله في مصيبة جدك علي ابن موسى.
Heaven in grief.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, welcome to the program Heaven in Grief. We express our condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. And today we're going to talk about Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam with the presence of Dr. Abbas Ali Shamli. Welcome to the program and salam alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. My salams to yourself, Mr. Namazi, and all brothers and sisters in faith while listening to this program.
Thank you. Dr. Shamli, the word Raza, which is specific for Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, has a lot of meanings.
Yeah.
I think there's a hadith from the Prophet which explains what Raza means. Would you elaborate on that hadith, please?
Inshallah. Thank you very much. I also myself, I express my condolences for the sad occasion of martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha al-Murtada, Sultan al-Ard, our beloved 8th Imam for all Shia Imamis all over the world. Imam is entitled with this very great title, Ar-Ridha. Ar-Ridha in the Arabic terminology means satisfaction. When you are satisfied with something, with yourself, with life, with your parents, with your job, with your future, you are Radi, satisfied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran in different verses reveals that good faithful people come to this high level of dedication, which is called position of satisfaction. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Satisfaction is a mutual relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The position of rida means you are happy and satisfied with what happens in your life. Of course, we need to be very careful not to attribute the result of our shortcomings and our faults to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go by chance, we go by sudden, we go without any planning, without having program. Plan and program are two keys for success, for happiness, for satisfaction. So, number one, we need to be careful to use our ability cognitively, emotionally, and to consult with the people who are expert in different fields for the jobs, for the affairs, for the issues that we are dealing with. This is number one. But when you do your best, you have your planning, you have your program, you have your process of conduction, but sometimes you do not arrive at the purpose, at the target that you predicted. Don't worry. It's not the end of life. Life is providing you lessons. You realize that you made a mistake. You need to change the way. You need to change your mind. Okay? But satisfaction in terms of Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi is a mystical, religious understanding. The position of satisfaction is the highest level of dedication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Some people come to a point, come to a position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them. They are obedient. Wa radu anhu. And these people are also are happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in their life. Imam Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in different steps of his movement in Karbala, was providing this fact, this principle. Ridha Allah, ridhana ahl al-bayt. Satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the scale, is the criterion for us. All movements, all activities of us is based on what? Divine satisfaction. Before we enter to any activity, we look, is it based on satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied with us, with this activity, with this movement? Then we go through. If not, we withdraw. We have a very nice story from Imam Baqir salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Once Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari got sick, very sick in house. Imam visited him and said, how do you do? How do you feeling? كيف أصبحت? How do you do? Jabir said, Imam, I was with you for a long time, with Prophet Muhammad as a companion, with Ali ibn Abi Talib, with Hassan ibn Ali, with Hussein.
He had a long
with
time.
With Ali ibn al-Hussein and with you. I have experienced six infallibles. And during this long, long time, I have realized, I have understood that good servant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who come to the point of patience. Position of patience. Maqam al-sabr. Patience. Good dedicated servant is the one who comes to the point of as-sabr. Position of patience. Imam said, what do you mean by patience? Jabir said, by patience I mean I like sickness better than health. I like poverty better than wealth. And he started counting some, you know, negative aspects of life. Death better than life. You know, all these types of negative aspects. Sickness, poverty. Imam said, why? Jabir said, because good servant is the one who comes to the position of patience. Maqam al-sabr. Imam said, no, this is not the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt. Lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt is based on divine satisfaction. Maqam al-rida, la maqam al-sabr. position of satisfaction, not position of patience. And Jabir said, what do you mean by position of satisfaction? Imam said, a good servant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings for him or her. If wealth, you accept it. If poverty, you accept it. If sickness, you go through. If health, you go through. So, look, you do your best. Don't go by chance. Don't go by sudden. You do your best. But whatever comes to your life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be happy with that. And Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi was located at the position of ar-ridha. This is the highlighted characteristic of Imam. But historically, there are some other meanings. For example, the Abbasid caliph called Imam Imam al-Ridha, not because of his satisfaction before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a highly degree of dedication before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said the movement of Abbasid is because of, you know, providing satisfaction to Ali Muhammad. And their very slogan that they put on their flags, Ar-Ridha min Ali Muhammad. We are seeking satisfaction of Ali Muhammad. But unfortunately, they started with this slogan and collected the attention of people. And afterwards, they marginalized the infallible imams, including Imam Ali ibn Musa, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And one more point, Brother Namazi. Today, in present life, we are busy and indeed we are suffering from a point that we are not educated based on Islamic instruction. Always we run after motivation, activity, and efforts is good, but we have to have our plan. We have to divide our time. To what extent for this life? What about hereafter? What about spiritual aspect? We just run after this world, cars, houses, luxury life, and this. So we just invest all life for what? This is something that we need. This is, I believe, a lesson that we could take from the life of Imam Ali ibn Musa, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. Life satisfaction. Life satisfaction means you have your plan, you do your best, but don't put the whole.
You're satisfied with whatever Allah destines for you.
After you have your planning, your efforts, but don't exhaust yourself.
Yeah.
Don't exhaust. You know? Put some for this world and some for hereafter.
Thank you, Dr. Shamli, for your elaboration on the word Ar-Ridha. Now, let's take a break. And after a short break, would you please recite Maqdal for us about Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. So, dear listeners, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
As-salamu. يا أبا الحسن الرضا يا أبا الحسن الرضا.
We're talking about Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamli. Dr. Shamli, would you please recite a maqtal for us about Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam?
Yes, thank you very much. Indeed, these days, we feel pain. We feel sadness because of the sad occasion of martyrdom of Imam Ali ibn Musa. As Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba offered to us, مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا مَسْمُومٌ أَوْ مَقْتُولٌ. None of the imams died in their normal way, whether they were imprisoned or they were put into martyrdom. So it provides a lesson of grief and sorrow for us, because we feel loser. We lost the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and A'imma, the infallible imams, are the gifts, are the refuge for all of us.
All the sufferings we have is because we don't have them.
Exactly.
Present.
Exactly. And in Da al-Iftitah, we normally recite Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqda nabiyyan. We lost our prophet and we lost the infallible imams one after another. And nowadays, we don't have any refuge to come to put our burden. Which gate?
To ask our questions.
To ask our question. To be released from the pains and distresses of this life. So let me provide you some statements about the sad occasion of the imprisonment and martyrdom of our mazloom imam, our kind imam, the imam who was entitled by Ar-Ridha and Ra'uf, not only satisfied, but also very kind. The imam, the leader of kindness in the whole world. So we need to express our condolences to Imam Mahdi Ajallallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif and share him with all these pains. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha al-Murtada al-Imam al-Taqiy al-Naghi wa hujjatika ala man fawq al-Ard وَمَنْ تَحْدَ الثَّرَى الصَّدِيقِ الشَّهِيدِ صَلَاتًا كَثِيرَةً تَامَّةً زَاكِيَةً مُتَوَاصِلَةً متواترتان مترادفان كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك صلى الله عليك يا أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى صلى الله عليك وعلى روحك وبدنك صبرت واحتسبت وأنت الصادق المصدق قتل الله من قتلك ولعن الله من ظلمك بالأيدي والألسان يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا. Imam Ali al-Ridha called and summoned his helper Aba Salt al-Hirawi and explained to him the exact place, the exact point of his grave, where to be buried, and the way that he must be buried. Imam explained to Aba Salt. Then Imam told Aba Salt, be aware that he will be invited by Ma'mun, the Abbasid Caliph, tomorrow. He added, it will take me a while to be in his office, the office of Ma'mun. When I came back, look carefully. If I have covered my head, don't talk to me. I'm in poison. It is a sign that I'm in poison. If not, come forward and stay with me. I will be ready to talk to you. So look at my hair. Is it covered or uncovered? Aba Salt said, the day after, it was early morning after Fajr prayer. Imam was dressed up and ready in his praying place, mihrab, waiting for Ma'mun's servants to come and pick him up. They arrived They arrived and requested Imam to go with them to Ma'mun. Abbasat states, I was with Imam up to the gate of Ma'mun's palace. Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi entered in, and it was a well-prepared session with several tables of fresh fruits. This is the explanation of Abbasat. Ma'mun was eating grapes. When he saw Imam Ali ibn Musa salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he jumped and ran to Imam and hugged him tightly and warmly. He kissed Imam's forehead and in between of his eyes and respected Imam by all means, showing that I love Imam. And there were people around. He then took Imam to his special seat and afforded him a cluster, a bunch of grapes, and said, O the son of Rasulullah, I have not seen such a good fresh grapes like this. Help yourself, please. Imam said, may the grapes of heaven be much better than this. Ma'mun again asked Imam to eat some, and Imam replied, that's okay for me. I do not take it now. Let me not eat grapes now. Ma'mun insisted and finally said, you have to take some. Don't you trust me, O my cousin? I'm your cousin, and I have provided and proved my sincerity to you since a long, long time. Then he took a cluster and offered it to Imam alayhi salam. To show his honesty and righteousness, he took some seeds very carefully and gave the rest to Imam. Imam took the cluster. By his insistence, Imam took three or four seeds and put it in his mouth. And by all sudden, he went sick. His face got yellow and white, and he stood up shivering and started to go home. Ma'mun said, oh my cousin, why so soon? Where do you go now? Imam kept silent. Imam kept silent and said, I'm going to the place that you sent me to. Imam covered his head and walked out of room. Ya Rasulallah, Ya Rasulallah, Ajarakallah, Ajarakallah, Ya Ibn al-Hasan, Ya Ibn al-Hasan, أجرك الله في مصيبة جدك علي بن موسى. Abu Sa'd says, I did not talk to Imam when I saw him in that painful manner. He covered his head, walking slowly. Imam could hardly walk till he arrived at his home gate. He asked me to close and lock all the doors. He walked into his bedroom and laid down on his bed. I was listening. There was a painful voice. I'm thirsty. I feel thirst. I'm thirsty. I feel thirst. Abbas says, I was waiting outside, sad and upset, knowing not what to do, impatiently. By all sudden, I came to see an adolescent boy inside the yard going to Imam's bedroom.
He was exclusively handsome, shining like a full moon. Very similar in face to Imam Ali al-Ridha. Very similar in face to Imam Ali al-Ridha. I approach him, asking, "Who are you, man? How could you come inside while all the doors were locked? All doors are locked. I locked them myself. How could you come in?" The boy said, "The one who brought me from Medina to Tus by only 1 second, he enabled me to enter from locked doors. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah." "Who are you?" I asked. He replied, "The proof of Allah upon you and upon all faithful people. I am Muhammad. I am Muhammad bin Ali al-Jawad al-Taqi, your Imam and the Imam of all faithful. I have come to see my lonely, helpless, and imprisoned dad." "I have come to see my lonely, helpless, and imprisoned dad." Then he ran to Imam's bedroom. When Imam Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi looked at his young boy, he stood up. He stood up like Prophet Jacob, who hugged his Yusuf. He kindly pressed his son on his chest and kissed him in between of his eyes and took him into his bed. It was not in room. Took Imam into his bed. They started looking and staring nicely one another for a while. It was a silence. It was a long silence. Then Imam Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi approached his son, whispered him for a long, long time. He provided something to his son, afforded all secrets as his successor. Then Imam Jawab salamullahi ta'ala alayhi walked up, requested me to prepare needs for ghusl and wrapping fabrics. By all of my surprise, I saw inside house, in yard, things that I had not seen them up to that moment. Imam Jawad washed the body of his dad in the best possible way, wrapped him up, and put the body on an existing heavenly throne. The body flew into the heaven, and Imam Jawad told me, "My father Ali al-Ridha joined his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, and his mom Fatima al-Zahra in heaven." Then after a while, the body appeared again on the yard. Imam took the body out and put him on his bed and requested me to open the gate. Imam Jawad said, "Ma'amun and his people are waiting outside. Go and open the gate and don't talk about this issue." "Yet the lonely Imam, we need to cry and weep for your grandfather, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein." An Imam whose body was left behind on the hot sands of Nineveh for 3 days and 2 nights. "O Imam Ali al-Ridha, your body was in cover, done ghusl, and was covered by your son. But the body of your grandfather Imam Hussein was left behind on the hot sands of Nineveh for 3 days and 2 nights, unburied and alone. Angels were making shadow and mourning. Not the holy body of Hussein be burned up in that hot weather in Karbala. There is no life without Hussein. How can we live without Hussein? Hussein, Hussein, Ya Hussein, the love of Fatima,
The light of Mustafa Hussein is our Imam. Hussein is our Imam. As-salamu ala Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha al-Murtada wa ala abaihi wa abnaihi wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you, Dr. Shamli, for this nice maqtal. And dear listeners, we'd like to express our condolences again to you for the martyrdom of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And thank you for listening to Heaven in Grief. Till next time, goodbye.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha al-Murtada. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Naqi wa hujjatika ala man fawqa al-ardi wa man tahta al-thara. As-Siddiq al-Shahid صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. In the book The Inner Voice, Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi aptly explains the need for a man to understand his purpose in life and to be able to ponder over some of the important aspects of our journey in reaching nearness to Allah. Today, we will read to you an excerpt of this book. Stay with us. Unity of God. say, He is Allah, the one and only, Allah the Eternal. Absolute, He begetteth not, nor He is begotten, and there is none like unto Him. Quran, Surah 112. This short surah of the Holy Quran is the most significant of all writings dealing with the oneness of God. As Allama Abdullah Yusuf Ali has commented in his translation of the Holy Book, the nature of God has been indicated here in a few words such as we can understand. He writes, Here, we are specially taught to avoid the pitfalls into which man and nations have fallen at various times in trying to understand God. The first thing we have to note is that His nature is so sublime, so far beyond our limited conceptions, that the best way in which we can realize Him is to feel that He is a personality. He, and not a mere abstract conception of philosophy. Secondly, He is the one and only God, the only one to whom worship is due. All other things or beings that we can think of are His creatures and in no way comparable to Him. Thirdly, He is eternal, without beginning or end, absolute, not limited by time or place or circumstance. The reality before which all other things or places are mere shadows or reflections. Fourthly, we must not think of Him as having a son or a father, for that would be to import animal qualities into our conception of Him. Fifthly, He is not like any other person or thing that we know or can imagine. His qualities and nature are unique. In fact, this short surah is a declaration of war against all ideas of paganism and anthropomorphism. Men from the beginning have had a tendency to imagine God in their own image. Some thought of Him as having a body like animals or human beings. Others thought that He was incarnated in the forces of nature like rain, lightning, mountain, and river. Still others thought that He was a father and had child or children. But this surah warns us against this tendency to conceive God after our own pattern. Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was an excerpt from the book Inner Voice by Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi. Our website is parstoday.com. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In case you've just joined us on this series of the show, we've been talking about the women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His Eminence's stance and viewpoint regarding women in general. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being accompanied by my darling sister, Sister Razia Shamni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear lovely sister, Sister Zainab.
Thank you for being with us.
So happy to be here to have a lovely conversation with you.
Inshallah ta'ala, likewise. So on the previous episodes, we were talking about, in brief, how brutal and savage the treatment of the ignorant Arabs was toward women.
Specifically by focusing on the verses of the Qur'an.
Exactly.
We didn't bring anything from our own.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And what the Qur'an pointed out, I mean, what the Qur'an was like, enough is enough. You know, y'all got to stop this madness. And in some instances, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed in regard with his treatment of women and how far it is from
nowadays.
Exactly, from nowadays in certain societies. And
in many societies,
how women are dealt with by their men, by other women, even sometimes
by themselves.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you know, people treat you the way you think you need, you deserve to be treated.
For sure.
If you have built such a strong personality within yourself, you don't even allow people to disrespect you, unless they are very base humans. They are animal humans.
Exactly.
One of the beauties of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he treated women in a way where they came to have this understanding or perception of themselves in their identity. They were brought up in a way that they really believed in themselves. They were courageous women. They were empowered women in the true sense of it. That's why you see the result, the fruit of the educational system of the noble prophet was Lady Fatima.
And Lady Zainab.
Right? And Lady Zainab.
Exactly. Such empowered women.
Finished. Yeah. You just read one sermon from them. And I've been thinking of Sermon Fadak so many times. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that we've covered the sermon of Lady Zainab in Sham, in detail.
Yeah.
Of course, according to our understanding and our power, right? But then Khutbah Fadak is also, because it shows the strength of the personality of Lady Fatima. It shows the level of understanding, the level of spirituality, her educational status, her mind, the way things were, you know, her understanding.
Her worldview.
Her worldview.
How she was taught to understand the world and process everything.
Exactly. And she had a leadership view to the world.
Exactly.
Not like a random lady.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't like an oppressed, you know, lowly woman who's
crying
out for help.
I want my money, my land.
Exactly.
It's like, you know.
Someone come save me. She was like, nah, man. This is who I am. This is my status. This is what my father did for you. This is who my husband is. This is what y'all are doing. Give me back my right.
Right. And she saw herself, her father, and her husband as the leaders of the people of the Ummah.
Exactly.
She didn't have a personal view, right? And she had a very good analytical power of analyzing
the situation,
exactly. Describing the people at the time of Jahiliyyah, how they were, then bringing, you know, like when you're justifying something, you say A, B, and then finally C. The way she relates the different events and phenomena, historical happenings, and then she comes to the conclusion.
That's a beautiful
analysis. She's an empowered woman. Why? Because at the time of the noble prophet, all constantly she was respected. She was dealt with love.
More of that after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the women in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and His Eminence's stance and viewpoint regarding women.
You don't see many fathers standing up when their daughters enter. Even now, even the ulama, they're not like this, many of them. Maybe some are, but I haven't seen many. That when your daughter comes in, when your wife comes to the room, you stand up. You approach her, you kiss her hands, you seat her in your own seat. This is Islam.
Yes, exactly.
This is fathering. And of this relationship, of this educational system, a woman like Fatima, Zainab is produced, right?
And when one might think that, well, yeah, Sayyida Fatima, she lived with her father all her life, but Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Masuma, well, they barely even saw the prophet, but still they were raised in that school of thought.
Exactly.
Right? Because Rasulullah is more than just a person. He's an ideology. Exactly. He's a concept. He's a truth. He's an absolute truth.
Exactly.
That you can just apply to every aspect of your life. And I am
the result of my mother's upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
My daughter is the result of my upbringing.
Exactly.
So it's all connected.
Yes, exactly. Right? And it saddens me so much.
That's why family is so important.
Yeah.
That's why the foundation of the success of any civilization is the nucleus, you know, the nucleus of family, right?
For sure, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think, like, the more we talk about these things in detail and we delve into the depths of their philosophy and their history, the more I understand why Islam lays so much emphasis on choosing a proper spouse. Not any Tom, Dick, and Harry that you come across that, you know, has... Don't marry for the sole purpose of getting married, because some people are like that. I've reached this age in my life, I got to get married now, no matter who comes through the door. And on the other hand, get married anyway to the proper person, because the result of it, it just doesn't affect you. It affects generations after you. So more about the instances of the women in the life of Rasulullah and Rasulullah in the lives of women.
There are a couple of hadiths that I would like to share with you about the noble prophet regarding the status or the position of women. For example, in one case, he says that respecting women is the criterion of dividing people into low and noble. If you want to see if a person is genuinely noble, you see if that person respects a woman. Finished. That's it. It's not so complicated. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So, and then there's another hadith where he says that there's a direct relationship between the increase of faith and one's love for one's wife.
MashaAllah.
So this nightly vigils, going for arba'in walks, going for hundreds of ziyara of hajj and this and that, praying and fasting and charitable work. If at the end of the